You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. Yes, I am live on Saturday evening, July the 4th. 4th of July, it's Independence Day, and the fireworks are right here in our studio. Eddie is with his family, Keith's with his family, and I'm with mine right here on the radio. And I'll be with my biological family in 30 minutes, and I keep reminding you of that fact because when we start playing a rebroadcast halfway through this hour, I have to leave here. You know, in the summertime, it doesn't get dark in the South until about midnight. So if I leave here at 7:30, I'll have time to drive home before and plenty of time to enjoy shooting fireworks with my kids. But I want to, you know, I remind you of that because when I do leave here in 30 minutes, I don't want you to think somebody came in here and assassinated me, and that's when we had to go to the tape. So I've reminded you two or three times that we're doing a little bit of a mix and match tonight, live for the first half of the show, and we're going to rebroadcast for the second half of the show. And again, we'll be rebroadcasting the last hour and a half of last week's show, during which we went all in with our ardent defense of the noble Confederate flag, what the war was about, what it wasn't about, and why we pledge our devotion to that icon of our heroes. I want to spend, you know, everything's been so busy as a result of everything that's gone on in the last few weeks. In fact, the show I had planned week before last has been completely scrapped. We've gotten back to none of the things that had been planned for discussion. But of course, that's somehow how it sometimes how it goes in live radio. But I did mention last week we had Jared Taylor on. We did the hour and a half on the South. We had Roger Devlin on. I did mention in passing that I had an interview with the Washington Post, and I didn't get a chance to really go into detail with that. But I'd like to take the privilege of doing that now. And as I said, my general policy is to limit my appearances to live radio or television interviews because with that, when they come at you with the usual attacks and slurs and slander like racist and this, that, and the other, you know, it gives me the opportunity to set the record straight and immediately launch into a counteroffensive. Of course, when you're doing print, they print it and that's it, and you've got no recourse. But because of this, I declined many interview requests last week during the height of the media feeding frenzy and hysteria in response to Charleston. But I did give the senior editor at the Washington Post an opportunity to speak with me. Since it is America's newspaper of record, I thought the inevitable attack would be worth it for the exposure. And we talked for an hour and a half, and the discussion was as polite as you might expect. I think I mentioned this last week in the show before Jared came on, and we had Jared on to talk about his much more extensive experience last week dealing with the media. But the editor of the Washington Post, when he called me, even wished me a happy birthday. They're always nice until they think they can get you on the hook. But my performance was strong, as it always is. I was gracious and determined, but presented our case in a heartfelt manner. But do you think any of that mattered? I finally got around, as I said, we've been so busy. But I finally got around a couple of days ago, I guess it was on Wednesday, to posting the article on thepoliticalcesspool.org. And it was pure garbage from the first word to the final punctuation mark. It read nothing new. It made no astute observations and did nothing but name call. It really could have won an entry contest where the rules were to see how many times you can use the words extremist, hate, racist, and supremacist in a single essay. This guy would have won it. Mark Fisher would have won that contest. In fact, he can actually turn those four words into complete sentences. And rather than waste my time for an hour and a half or however long we were on the phone, he should have just skipped the interview process and just written for his piece that whites are extremists, haters, racists, and supremacists, repeat ad nauseum. Or he could have, now this is a novel idea, he could have told the truth, which is what the media is supposed to do. Now, this wasn't written as an op-ed or some editorial. This was written as a, you know, a matter of fact. But he completely skipped the who, what, where, when, and why and just went into this tirade of bias. Now, this is the senior editor of the most influential newspaper in this country. And that's the only reason I consented to do a print interview. I didn't expect anything more than what we got, obviously. I've been around the block a few times in this decade in radio, but since it was the Washington Post, you know, I went for it anyway. And, you know, to set the record straight, and I don't need to do this for this show, but obviously our enemies listened to this show too because he quoted something we had said on the radio program. I talked to him for an hour and a half or an hour, at least an hour, and he took one sentence out of that hour and quoted me. And then he quoted something we said in the program the week before last, and then it was just the rest of it was just ad hominem attacks. And what he did quote in the radio show was taken out of context, as they like to cherry pick. But you know, and I told him what I always tell anybody who asks me. I consider myself to be a conservative Christian who holds traditional viewpoints. Of course, I am unequivocally pro-white. I have a deep love and respect for my cultural heritage, and I advocate in the defense of my family first. I'm proud of who I am and of who my ancestors were. Rational people, everybody else in the world, would consider that to be perfectly normal behavior. And it is. Oh, well, at least the local newspaper here in Memphis and the CBS television affiliate accurately and honestly referred to me as a conservative. And I did about a dozen other interviews last week. And still have a couple of more this week. But the Washington Post was by far the most disgusting. I actually had to shower after reading it. You know an article's bad if you have to go shower just from reading it. But it's just another day in the trenches. But with regards to this media coverage, you know, isn't it amazing when you've got an issue and a story this big, you know, as big as Charleston was and as big as the attack on the Confederate flag was and is, by the way, as it is. All of the media speaks with one voice. Every single article, every single television package covering the Confederate flag story, they all spoke in a single voice. All of them, without exception, spoke with one voice, and that voice was that the Confederate flag was evil. Except for, of course, Liberty News Radio Network. And thank God for Sam Bushman. Thank God for men of honesty and integrity and dignity. Republic Broadcasting as well. And this show, of course. And then there was some other, you know, there are a lot of stuff on the internet. But I'm talking about with networks that actually have the, you know, credibility of being broadcast on AM stations and things of that nature. But all of the establishment media, all of the establishment media spoke with a single voice. You know, isn't that interesting? No opposition, according to them. You know, there's not another point of view at all, except for what they say. Every single one of them, from the biggest newspaper in the country to the smallest, everywhere in between, all speaking with one voice. But the opposition to that voice is incredible, as we've seen, as I talked about at the top of the first hour tonight. All of these people in the South coming out. The support of our program in the last week has been incredibly tremendous and encouraging. We have received more support in the last week than at any week during the 10 years we've been on the air. People are rallying in the face of this onslaught, and it is a good thing. And of course, when you support this show, you support this network. Without this network, there'd be no show. And of course, we always make a quarterly pledge from our coffers to that of the network, and I'm happy to have been able to do that this week, and there's going to be more support. But we're all in this together. It's one for all and all for one. We've got to stand together, and I appreciate y'all. I want to say this again, and I said this at the top of the show as well. I love y'all. Thank you for the support you give this radio program. We wouldn't be here without you, but because of you, we're able to fight back against the Washington Post and the rest of the media, and our people are rallying behind the truth, and we're leading the way. We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Talked to you in the last segment about my interview with the senior editor of the Washington Post. You can read that on our website this week if you have the stomach for it. It's an excruciatingly long article, by the way. It had to fill up 12 pages of the newspaper. But it wasn't all that bad. That one was very bad, but the rest of my media experiences were not bad. Of course, the political cesspool is known for taking a stand on certain taboo issues, and so we were a sought-after voice. During the feeding frenzy, as I call it, we tried to serve diligently. But some of the media was quite good. Of course, I was on with the legendary Sam Bushman in the Liberty Roundtable show 3 times week before last, and want to thank him again for all the support he had shown me, shows me every week, but certainly that week as well. And on Monday of this week, I once again had the honor of making another live guest appearance on the wildly popular weekly Antidote radio program in Sweden, and it's hosted by the very well-known Swedish activist Jonas Deger, who has also made a couple of guest appearances on the political cesspool. His talented co-hosts Dan and Magnus also help Jonas administer the weekly Antidote show, and each time I have the opportunity to go on that broadcast, we receive a tremendous amount of interest from listeners in Northern Europe, with one of my previous interviews on that show having been downloaded more than 23,000 times from their official website. I want you to think about that. 23,000 people listened to it in the archives, not counting those who listened to it live. That was just one appearance. And anyway, they were kind enough to feature me again this week to offer my opinions on Charleston, the Confederate flag, the Supreme Court ruling, and more. I was on with them for an hour and a half, and we have that interview also posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. And I'm always amazed to listen to these guys switch from their native tongue to English just to accommodate me. And what's more impressive is that their incredibly large European audience can make that seamless transition as well. But nevertheless, the positive impact that these guys are having in Sweden and throughout Scandinavia is most impressive, and they still offer credit to the Political Cesspool for inspiring them to get involved in radio in the first place. And I can't repeat that enough anytime I'm on their show. It just goes to show that the impact of one's work can sometimes bear fruit in places you'd never have expected. That's why we just don't know how things are going to play out. And you know, if it hadn't been for Pat Buchanan, for instance, I wouldn't even be here. And I'm sure when Pat ran for president, he didn't do so he could give birth to the activism of James Edwards. But you just never know how things are going to work out. And I appreciate those guys, though, in Sweden with the Weekly Antidote Show. And thank them again for giving me the opportunity to gain a significant following in the land of the Vikings. For a decade, we've served as a nexus here in America when it comes to bringing together right-thinking individuals and organization. And it's very encouraging to see the strides we have made in building up a following in the mother continent in recent years. The Political Cesspool, yes, we honor the South. Yes, we're proud to be Southerners. And, of course, all of us here in Tennessee are native-born Southerners. And so that's near and dear to our hearts. But as I mentioned, we're all Confederates now, as far as I'm concerned. And we're happy to serve an audience that spans the length and width of the United States and, indeed, spans the globe as well. And One more thing about these interviews. Got another interview coming up with the BBC. They're going to be sending a film crew to talk to me, and I'll keep you posted on that. That has not happened yet, and until it happens, it hasn't happened, but that is in the works. So we're excited about the fact that the Political Cesspool is a voice for our people and a voice of record for our people. Well, I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their 4th of July. I realize that it's incredibly difficult to get excited and to celebrate anything associated with modern-day America. However, we're going to post a video to our website tomorrow on Sunday. And as you watch it, I ask that you let your mind slip back to a time when this nation actually attempted to realize her promise. I do love this country. I mean, certainly I love my people more than any plot of land. And so if I have to choose between my people and a geographical location, I'm always going to choose my people. But it's nice when the people and the country, the nation and the country can be one. And, you know, I do want to see America as a whole restored. I don't know if that's possible. It certainly doesn't look like it is. I would like to see America from Maine to California, from Washington State to Key West. I'd like to see it all be one nation under God again, indivisible. I'd like to see that. You know, I am a patriot, but I love my family more than I love an out-of-control government. I think that's for sure. But we hope, again, I'm going to have to cut out of here now. If I don't leave now, I'm not going to get home in time for the fireworks, and I can't miss that with my family. But I'm glad to have had the opportunity to come in here, at least for half the show tonight, and spend a little time with you here live on the radio to update you on the latest happenings since we were together last Saturday. Of course, next week we'll be back to full strength, live, full 3-hour show as usual. But I just want to remind you on this holiday that we love you. And we hope that you enjoy this evening and the rest of this holiday weekend with your family. At the end of the day, everything that motivates our work here on the radio is motivated from a sense of love and duty and obligation to our family. So have hope, ladies and gentlemen. This thing isn't over yet. And I want to play for you now a song that I hope will lift your spirits. It's particularly timely since this is our Independence Day. Let's go to the song.
My country, tis of thee.
God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We love you. Our cause is right. Our cause is just. Never question that, even for a second. Don't let the clouds of doubt creep into your mind. I have never been more convinced of anything in my life. We will continue to provide leadership on this radio program. Thank you for the support you've shown us throughout the second quarter fundraising drive. That, again, will give us the operational breathing room we need to make it through the summer. We'll do it again during the third quarter. But for now, we want to thank you. 4th of July, shoot a firework. Think about your friends. Think about your family. And remember, it is for those institutions that we fight. Stay tuned to the rest of the show, though. We're going to replay the last hour and a half of last week's show, during which we defended the South and played those excellent clips from Gods and Generals. Stay tuned for that. We'll see you back next week, back live for the entire show as usual. Good night, everybody.
Across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, another one of the many victims this week, ladies and gentlemen, has been that symbol of nobility that for decades has proudly flown over the Capitol grounds in Columbia, South Carolina. I am, of course, talking about the Confederate flag. My flag, the flag of my family, that is the flag that I most identify with. With the 4th of July coming up, I will tell you this, I love my people, but I will not fly an American flag on the 4th of July at my house. No, sir. Now, there was a movie that came out about, 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember the exact year. It was the early 2000s. It was a movie by the name of Gods and Generals, and it was a movie that very objectively portrayed the causes of the Second War for Independence. And if you'll remember, just a few years ago, Warner Brothers reached out to the political cesspool to help them promote the re-release of Gods and Generals that was being re-released for the 150th anniversary of the onset of the war between the states. And so, you know, it's really been amazing, our story. Whenever I get down to write the biography or my memoirs of all of the experiences I had in the political cesspool, working with Warner Brothers, certainly not a friend of our people or a friend of mine, but to work with them to promote the re-release of Gods and Generals, will certainly be mentioned. Well, we're going to play some clips from that movie. Now, I know it's a movie, and these aren't the real heroes speaking, but they did a lot of great research when making that movie. And it's a very accurate dramatization. And so the first clip I'm going to play you before I get into my defense of the flag and why it's so important to me is an encounter between General Stonewall Jackson, General Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, and Jeb Stuart, on why the war was being fought. Let's play that clip now.
You'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Let's turn the volume up if we can.
Lieutenant Colonel Stewart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stewart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart. Use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down. Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54.
Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche.
Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we will be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy. Infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And, Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away. Trot.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That, in the words of Stonewall Jackson, was why the war was fought, and he was absolutely correct about what would happen if the Union prevailed. It would be the triumph of the banks, of commerce, of the factories, the end of responsible government on this continent. It would be the prelude to anarchy if the violators of our homes and firesides were victorious. He was never proven more right than he has been in the last 3 weeks with these Supreme Court decisions. And when I defend the Confederate flag, I defend it because it is a symbol of heroism, of valor, of gallantry, a willingness for men to fight against all odds, a resistance to tyranny. It is my family. It is a Christian flag. It is a Christian symbol. That is modeled after the cross of St. Andrews, the patron saint of Scotland, where so many of our ancestors in the South settled from. It is a Christian symbol. That is why they hate it. They hate everything it stands for. That flag didn't fly over slave quarters, as Pat Buchanan wrote this week. It flew over battlefields, and they were men who had a willingness to fight, and it's what happened to the people that used to produce men like that, I don't know. But I will tell you this, and I received this from a regular listener, Bill, in Kentucky. All of these modern-day conservatives, so-called conservatives, these Republicans waving the white flag, they're outdoing themselves to get rid of the Confederate flag in an attempt to make the left like them. Mainstream conservatives really, really think that if they keep trying hard enough, they'll eventually placate the minorities and the left. It cannot be done. And let me tell you something. Right there in Charleston, South Carolina, you have the crew of the H.L. Hunley submarine. Men who got into a submarine. It was the first naval submarine that sunk an enemy ship in the history of naval warfare. The Confederates invented submarine warfare. They had died. The entire crew of the Hunley had died on two or three occasions in advance of the successful sinking of the USS Housatonic. The crew of the Hunley, the third crew led by Lieutenant George Dixon, they sunk the Housatonic in Charleston Harbor, the first time a submarine had ever sunk another vessel. They drown right after. The previous crews had drowned in training. Those men got into that ship. You think they got into that ship to preserve slavery? Nobody can be that foolish, ladies and gentlemen. I sent a book out last week, or our last fundraising drive, to the people who donated. One of the Confederate privates were in prison, I believe, and they quoted him. They asked, "Why are you fighting us?" And he answered, "Because y'all are down here." The South had a right to self-determination. The South had a right to secede. The South had a right to defend itself. You know, the first prerequisite of a nation is to have a culture different from that of your surroundings. The South still has that today. That's the first prerequisite of a nation. The South wanted out. The North invaded, launched civil war against the South for doing what they felt as though was their God-given right, a right that their ancestors took for themselves with the crown in England. Not too long before. But you look at the people like the crew of the Hunley, the detractors, those craven cowards like Rick Santorum and Nikki Haley and Bob Corker and Lamar Alexander, they are incapable of that amount of bravery. The most unheralded, unknown Confederate private was more honorable than any United States congressman or senator, certainly the president. They are these people who are attacking the Confederate flag this week in the wake of what happened in Charleston are beneath the Confederates in every possible way. Virginia seceded rather than to provide soldiers or militia to participate in a war on their brothers. What did you expect them to do? North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, they followed Virginia out over that issue. They would not be party to a war on their family. In the first inaugural, Lincoln sought to appease the states that had seceded by endorsing a constitutional amendment. Are you hearing me, ladies and gentlemen? This is not anything that's reported. It's a fact. Lincoln sought to appease the states that had seceded by endorsing a constitutional amendment to make slavery permanent in the 15 states where it then existed. He even offered to help the southern states run down fugitive slaves. If you think that the war was all about slavery, don't you think the South would have accepted that offer? Why didn't they? If they were only interested in preserving slavery, which was on its way out all across the Western world, it would have ended in the South soon, regardless of who won the war. Don't you think they would have taken that deal? If that was all it was about, It's lies from the pit of hell. They hate the South because they hate Christians. They hate the South because they hate white people. This is a symbol of white identity. It is a symbol of independence and men and people willing to stand up for something they believe. Everything they hate, everything they are incapable of, that is what the Confederate flag stands for. And by God, I'll wave it until if I'm the last one waving the Confederate flag, it'll wave in my hands. I'm going to wave it on the 4th of July. I'm going to wave it on the 5th of July. I'm going to wave it every day. That's my flag. And we're going to talk more about it right after this. You want to talk about people who sacrifice something? Listen to what Robert E. Lee sacrificed. We're going to play that after the break.
On the Liberty News Radio Network.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I took my daughter, my wife, my daughter, and our infant son to a movie today. We all went to see a family movie before the show, before I had to come into work tonight. And then after we left the movie theater, I swung by to my parents' house. And as God is my witness, as I pulled into the driveway, my dad was planting a Confederate flag in his front yard. And it was the same flag that flew at my wedding. In the backyard at my wedding, behind the altar, it was that same flag. It's been in the barn since 2006 when I got married, and it's back in the yard today, in the front yard, that is. So, I, you know, certainly I have benefited from having a an upbringing that taught me to honor my ancestors and not to hate myself and not to hate my family. But talking about these limp-wristed, despicable politicians today who are selling out their family, if you are a member of the United States Senate or the United States Congress and you're from the South, you're spitting on the graves of your ancestors to roll over to placate this horde that have no understanding whatsoever about what the Confederate flag was about. We know it wasn't about preserving slavery. I think we established that in the last segment. But you're also denigrating the memory and the legacy of people who were far greater than you could ever hope to be. And certainly one of those was Robert E. Lee, probably the most Christ-like man to ever walk the earth other than Christ himself. I think he was a Christ-like figure by every standard of measurement. He was offered command of the entire Union Army. Can you imagine one of these politicians today, these sociopaths who are only interested in advancing themselves, can you imagine them turning down an opportunity to lead something as powerful as the Union Army to go and fight for a cause that was almost certain to lose? No, that was a man of integrity. And, you know, these clips from Gods and Generals that we're going to be featuring tonight are based on historical records. So now we're going to play the clip of Robert E. Lee turning down command of the Union Army. And in this movie, Robert E. Lee is portrayed by the great Robert Duvall, who is a descendant of Robert E. Lee. Let's listen to it now.
Allow me to get to the point, sir. I have been authorized by President Lincoln himself, with the full blessing of the War Department, to offer you full command of the Army with the rank of Major General, this Army being raised to quell this rebellion and, of course, to preserve the Union.
I assume this Army is to be used to invade those areas to eliminate the rebellion by force.
Yes, sir. The federal government has been challenged by these rebels, who have been most effective in changing the sentiments of various state legislatures, challenging our constitution and challenging our central government. The attack on Fort Sumter cannot be ignored.
General, my home is right there across the Potomac, where you can see Arlington House from your front door. My family is spread all over this part of Virginia. If you invade the South, your enemy territory will be there, right across that river.
Well, sir, there is no great outcry for secession in Virginia. It's not a foregone conclusion that Virginia or Tennessee, Arkansas, or Kentucky will join the rebellion.
My friend, may I humbly submit that you're mistaken about Virginia. As you know, the legislature is convening in Richmond this very day to discuss the very issue of secession. Now, perhaps you know their mind better than they themselves. And I regret to say the president's hasty calling up of 75,000 volunteers to subdue the rebellion in the cotton states has done nothing to ameliorate the crisis. It has only deepened it.
I trust you're not being too hasty yourself, Colonel. This is a great opportunity for you to serve your country.
My country, Mr. Blair. I never thought I'd live to see the day that a president of the United States would raise an army to invade his own country. No, Mr. Blair, I cannot lead it. I will not lead it.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, sir. I fear you're making a most dreadful mistake.
Would you please convey my deepest sense of honor and gratitude to the president, but I must decline his offer. Please tell him, please be clear. I have never taken my duties lightly, but I have no greater duty than to my home, to Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert E. Lee is a hero by any standard of measurement. What a man, a Christian. In 1862, and we're going to take a caller from Alabama, but in 1862, Abraham Lincoln wrote Horace Greeley that if he could restore the Union without freeing one slave, he would do it. The Emancipation Proclamation freed only those slaves Lincoln had no power to free, those still under Confederate rule. As for slaves in the Union states, they remained property of their owners. And as for terrorists, we've heard a lot of these disgusting people referring to the Confederates as terrorists. No army fought more honorable than Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. Few serious scholars deny that. The great terrorist in that war was William Tecumseh Sherman, who violated all known rules of war by looting, burning, and pillaging on his infamous march to the sea from Atlanta to Savannah. So why now are the Confederates being so vilified? Because they were Southern white Christian men. And you look at the sacrifice, the honor of people like Robert E. Lee turning down command of the Union Army to go and fight for his family, fight for Virginia. Nathan Bedford Forrest, who is underseas, they want to dig up his bones and throw him away here in Memphis. They want to dig him up, desecrate his grave like some ISIS terrorist. Nathan Bedford Forrest had no education, yet he rose to become a self-made millionaire. And then despite that heroic accomplishment, he then donated the majority of his wealth to field the Confederate infantry, and then without any military training, enlisted as a soldier, a private of the lowest rank, despite being exempt from service because of his standing as a major planter. And then, with no military training, rose from private to lieutenant general, one of the greatest tacticians in the history of mobile warfare. His strategy is still studied by militaries today. These men are heroes. These men are heroes. That flag is a heroic symbol. And if you don't know that, then I pity you. Let's go to Ben in Alabama. Ben, take it away.
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
We're fighting, my friend. We're fighting.
Well, hey, man, we're trying to fight here in Alabama, too. I'd just like to say that in the last 2 days, I have never seen a better display of Southern pride in my entire life. I'm a young man. I'm 23 years old. And I went to a flea market today in North Alabama that's close to my house, and I tried to purchase a Confederate flag, and usually there is, you know, an abundance there. You can find them all over the place, and they were totally sold out. People had came up and showed up at 5:30 in the morning and just bought them up. I mean, it was amazing. I was very proud. I was disappointed because I didn't get to buy one, but I was proud that they're out there and they're flying, so...
Hey, Ben, that's a great point. You know, obviously the Confederate flag is being taken down from the grounds in Columbia, Amazon, all of these, you know, American corporations, the same corporations that Stonewall Jackson said in that clip earlier would take over the country and help ruin the country. You know, they're all getting rid of any Confederate logo. But I talked to a major flag manufacturer, a major flag distributor just last night. It's about midnight. I have not slept this week at all. Maybe a night's worth the entire week spread out because I have been fighting in defense of our people, of our symbols, of our heroes, of our families.
You fight for all of us.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. But just to echo what you pointed out, this major flag seller said that he is completely sold out of Confederate flags, and every distributor that he knows has sold out of Confederate flags. You cannot – it was even on the news here in Memphis that the local retailers are sold out of Confederate flags. Not that they threw them away. They sold out. You cannot buy a Confederate flag, to my knowledge, anywhere in the country tonight, not because they're being discarded, but because they have sold out. That is encouraging, and I appreciate you bringing that up. That was a point I wanted to make. It may have slipped my mind. We're so busy tonight. But that is something that we can – invest a little bit of hope in. Like I said, even my father pulled out his Confederate flag out of his barn and put it in the front yard as a result, as a response to all of this. So as we will be doing the same, as I have done at my house. So this is good. This is good. Hey, listen, they can take it down in South Carolina. They cannot remove it from our hearts.
Amen. They can't take it from our front porch either.
Well, that's right. I'd like to see I'd like to see him try. Hey, Ben, thank you for the call tonight. Hey, listen, always an honor to hear from somebody from Alabama, and I appreciate you putting adding that point to the conversation tonight. Is that yes, it's under attack, but also the people who know the truth are standing up, and you're going to see more Confederate flags in America in the coming week. than you ever have before, because they're going to, you know, these people that are buying them aren't buying them, I feel, to put in their closet. They're buying them to do something with them in response to this abomination. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're going to continue to defend the flag. We're going to continue to offer talking points that you can share in your circles of influence. And we're going to continue to play these excellent clips from the movie Gods and Generals. If you haven't gotten that movie, you got to get it.
Is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.